Harper Audio presents The Mind and the Brain, Neuroplasticity and the Power of Mental Force, by Jeffrey M. Schwartz, M.D., and Sharon Begley. Read by Arthur Morey. When he speaks of reality, the layman usually means something obvious and well known. Whereas it seems to me that precisely the most important and extremely difficult task of our time is to work on elaborating a new idea of reality. This is also what I mean when I always emphasize that science and religion must be related in some way. Wolfgang Pauli, Letter to M. Fiers, August 12, 1948. It is interesting from a psychological epistemological point of view that, although consciousness is the only phenomenon for which we have direct evidence, many people deny its reality. The question, if all that exists are some complicated chemical processes in your brain, why do you care what those processes are, is countered with evasion. One is led to believe that the word reality does not have the same meaning for all of us. Nobel physicist Eugene Wigner, 1967. Introduction. Hamlet. My father. Methinks I see my father. Horatio. Oh, where, my lord? Hamlet. In my mind's eye, Horatio. William Shakespeare. Every Tuesday, with the regularity of traffic jams on I-405, the UCLA Department of Psychiatry holds grand rounds, at which an invited researcher presents an hour-long seminar on a topic of clinical relevance. One afternoon in the late 1980s, I saw, posted on a bulletin board at the Neuropsychiatric Institute, an announcement that stopped me cold. One of the nation's leading behavior therapists was scheduled to discuss her high-profile and hugely influential work with obsessive-compulsive disorder, OCD, the subject of my own research as a neuropsychiatrist. OCD is a condition marked by a constant barrage of intrusive thoughts and powerful urges, most typically to wash, because patients are often bombarded with thoughts about being dirty and contaminated with deadly pathogens, and to check, because of irresistible urges to make sure an appliance has not been left on or a door left unlocked, or to satisfy oneself that something else is not amiss. I had a pretty good idea of what to expect. The speaker was widely known in medical circles for her application of rigorous behaviorist principles to psychological illnesses. Rigorous, actually, hardly did the behaviorist approach justice. The very first paragraph of the very first paper that formally announced the behaviorist creed, John B. Watson's 1913 classic, Psychology as the Behaviorist Views It, managed in a single throw-down-the-gauntlet statement to deny man's humanity, to dismiss the significance of a mind capable of reflection, and to deny implicitly the existence of free will. The behaviorist, declared Watson, recognizes no dividing line between man and brute. Rarely in the 75 years since Watson has a secular discipline adhered so faithfully to a core principle of its founder. Behaviorists, ignoring the gains of the cognitive revolution that had been building momentum and winning converts throughout the 1980s, continued to believe that there is no need for a therapist to acknowledge a patient's inner experiences while attempting to treat, say, a psychological illness such as a phobia. Rather, this school holds that all desired changes in behavior can be accomplished by systematically controlling relevant aspects of a patient's environment, much as one would train a pigeon to peck particular keys on a keyboard by offering it rewards to reinforce correct behavior and punishments to reverse incorrect behavior. The Grand Rounds speaker, faithfully following the principles of behaviorist theory, had championed a particular method to treat obsessive-compulsive disorder known as exposure and response prevention. Exposure and response prevention, or ERP, was a perfect expression of behaviorist tenets. In ERP therapy sessions, as routinely practiced, the OCD patient is almost completely passive. The therapist presents the patient with triggers of varying intensity.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?